And now, if you'll turn in your Bible to the 90th division of the book of Psalms, Psalm 90 will be our scripture reading for our message for the next few moments. I realize that you have borne with us for this good while, and it will be only a few moments until we'll be concluding our services, but I want you to consider with me prayerfully Psalm 90, and I shall begin reading at verse 1. Before we read, I would ask you to join me in just a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word again and for the opportunity that is ours to read it, to study it, to meditate upon it. We thank Thee for the golden guarantee of Thy grace that Thou art with us over the uneven pathway of our lives. We would ask, should there be those who have come in tonight having never anchored their faith in Jesus, having never trusted Him as their personal Savior, may they come even in this service, committing their all to Him, opening the door of their heart to let Jesus Christ come in. We would ask now that Thou wouldst bless us and that Thou wouldst sustain us by Thy marvelous grace, and may every heart of each boy and each girl, of each member and each visitor, of every person here, be made to rejoice in the preaching of Thy Word, as we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake with thanksgiving. Amen. Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like the grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by Thine anger, and by Thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of Thine anger? Even according to Thy fear, so is Thy wrath. In verse 12, a particular emphasis, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Life as is known by man has been described in many ways and compared to many things, but none, I think, so rightly as comparing life with a journey. For indeed, your life and mine, with its beginning at birth and its termination at death, is much like a journey. And in these next few moments, that's what I want to talk to you about. Our pilgrim journey. You are journeying tonight across the stage of time as God has allotted your days. God has a purpose in your life. Just as surely as He has had and does have a purpose in the life of every person who has ever lived. Now, God doesn't have the same purpose in your life, perhaps as He does in the lives of those about you. But nonetheless, there is a definite purpose for your being where you are tonight. This I believe in keeping with God's word. For this Bible tells me that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God did not make a mistake when he made you who you are and put you where you are tonight. I think one of the most classic examples of life being like a journey is the life of Abraham, the man who is designated the friend of God and the father of all the faithful. Abraham made many steps in his pilgrim journey from here to eternity. And in those steps, I believe there are things for us to learn. Because again, God has not recorded anything in his word needlessly. All the Old Testament and all the New Testament, all the divine, the inspired, the infallible word of God has meaning for us in 1968. As we stated this morning, you do not date the word of God. It is out of the timeless past and reaches into the eons of time, yet unnamed, unnumbered, and uncounted. And in all of this vast universe, in all of the eons of time, in all of the ages past, and in this present moment, and in the ages to come, you are a very vital connection between heaven and earth. For God has man on this earth as his representative. So it was in the life of Abraham, who took steps along his pathway of life that I hope will help us in the guiding and in the directing of our lives for 1968. The first step that Abraham took was a step forth. In the book of Genesis, chapter 12, and verse 5, the very first book of God's word, we read this concerning Abraham, or Abram, before his name was changed. In the 12th chapter of Genesis and verse number 5, "And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth," F-O-R-T-H, "they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came." This was Abraham's step of separation. Abraham had been settled in the land of Haran. But Abraham must journey on. Abraham had reached the halfway house, but this was not far enough. Some of you tonight have reached perhaps only the halfway house in your relationship to God and to the church. But you cannot be a happy, successful individual remaining at the halfway house. Abraham was called by God from the Ur of the Chaldees, where he was situated and settled and had his family and his home. But there came a time in Abraham's life when God said, "Abraham, I want you to go forth." Leaving your home, leaving the family ties, leaving the land of your nativity, there is a place for you to go. Get up and go forth. I shall never forget my first trip to Texas. And somebody said, "Me too." Amen. I shall never forget that first journey that I made when I left my home. I was only a lad of 18 years of age. And I'm just 29, so you can figure out how long this has been. But when I left home for the first time, it was on a Friday. And I was coming with a family to Fort Worth to enter the seminary to receive my training for the ministry. It was early in the morning, so when we left, well, it didn't bother me too much. I had not been away from home, as I said, so we all stopped along the way and we had breakfast. And the sun was coming up and everything was all right until the sun started going down. And I looked back, and I kept on looking back. And there was Mother and Daddy and the brothers and sisters and friends that I had grown up with. And here I was thrown out in a big world with somebody else in an old rundown car, not knowing when it was going to give out and not knowing what was going to be in Texas when I got here. And so I looked back east as long as I could. But then I realized that the time had come in my life when I must go forth. When God had spoken and God had moved and God had given me a sense of direction for my life. And I must separate myself from these other things. Amen. He that entangleth himself with the affairs of this life cannot be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There must come a time of separation. There must come a time of stepping forth. And in your life there will be things, and there are things from which you must separate yourself. In some instances, families have had to be separated across the many miles and across many years to serve God. The missionaries have had to go to the foreign lands, leaving their families, their homes, their jobs, and all that they have known to go where God has sent them. You may not have to go from Virginia to Texas or Texas to Carolina or around the world, but you may have to go just next door or across the street. There is a place for you to serve and a place of separation from these things to be enlisted in the service of Christ. You must separate yourself from sin to be the servant of God, to be a child of God, to be a Christian. This book says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. I'm talking to you about Abraham's first step, a step of separation. But Abraham made another step in his journey, once he had come into the land of Canaan, as I read to you in verse 5. There in the land of Canaan, where God had called him, things began to get a little bit shaky for Abraham. Now, Abraham's foundation never did shake, but Abraham shook upon it. The foundation upon which you stand tonight, the Word of God, and the faith that was once delivered to the saints shall never become shaky. You may tremble upon that rock, but I am glad we are fixed and we are founded and we are built and we are established on a solid foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Abraham had a solid foundation. But things began to waver for him. And in the 12th chapter of Genesis, verse 10, Abraham made a step downward, a step of declension, decline, going down. And Abraham went down to Egypt. He went away from his place that God had put him. God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees and planted him in Canaan. But Abraham went down. Down away from the place that God had put him. Down away from the place of prayer. Down away from the place of worship. Away from the place of service, of activity, in doing what God wanted him to do. Here's a tragic note. Many a Christian tonight is out of place. They're saved. They love the Lord. They're going to heaven. But they are somewhat out of place because they are not where God wants them. I'm convinced that there is a place for every believer. There is a place to serve. There is a place to worship. There is a place in your life to honor God. Don't make the mistake that Abraham made and went when he went down into Egypt, away from the altar of prayer, away from the place of communion, away from the place of surrender and submission of his life to God. Abraham took a step down. I might say this before I pass along any further in this message tonight. If you have taken a step down, there is always a place for you to take a step back up. There is always, for every soul that goes into Egypt, there is a coming out. And Abraham made a third step in his journey of life. In Genesis chapter 13 and verse 1, the Bible tells us that Abraham came up out of Egypt. Abraham came out of Egypt. If you find yourself in your Christian experience in the Egypt of the world, away from the place of prayer, away from the place of worship, away from the place of serving God, I have good news for you tonight. Like Abraham, you can come out of that place and back to Bethel, the house of God, and back to the place of prayer, and back right where you left God. For he has never left you. You can come back to that place. And I'm talking to you about something that's very real tonight. This isn't imaginary. I'm talking to you as I give you the word of God about something that I would stake my life on tonight. That what God says is absolutely true. Amen. You say, but preacher, can you put it in mathematics and make it come out? No. Can you calculate it or put it in a test tube and make me see it and know it and understand it? No, I cannot. But I can tell you that in my own heart tonight, God has planted a seed of faith, and whatsoever God has said, this I believe. Amen. And this word has never lost its power. It has never been outdated, outmoded. Abraham came out. A step of restoration. Remember now, he made a step of separation. He made a step of declension, going down, and now he's making a step of restoration. Say, you know what that reminds me of? Do you know the story in the New Testament about the prodigal son? Do you remember how Jesus gives us this beautiful story of a young man who decided that he wanted to take whatever was his and go into the world and have his fling and live it up, live high, die young, and have fun while it lasts? And he did live it up in the world. And God's word says that he spent everything he had. And he was brought to rags, from riches to rags. And he was brought to nothing. And let me say this, every man outside Christ and every man outside of fellowship with God tonight is nothing. He's dressed in rags, rags of sin, rags that cannot and will not cover or hide his sinful nakedness. The prodigal son came to the end of the way. He went down as far as a man can go. If you can imagine a Jewish young man feeding hogs, you can see that he went literally to the hog pen. And that was as far as the Jewish boy could go. How much deeper could he go and how much lower could he stoop than to slop hogs? And he wouldn't even eat the meat of them because to the Jew it was unclean. But there he is. He's in the hog pen. But the Bible says, and I love this, one day, the prodigal began to think. You know, it helps us to think. Mister, are you thinking tonight? Are you thinking only about the things of time? Are you thinking only about money and materials and gold and silver? Then I challenge you upon the authority of God's word that you are thinking, if that is the extent of your thought, in a fatal direction. You must think of nobler things, of higher things, of things beyond this life, of things beyond the bank and the stock market and the material possessions of life. You must think of eternal things. For those things that we see pass away. The things that we do not see last forever. The prodigal son began to think. And there in the hog pen, the Bible says he would fain have filled his own stomach with a husk that the hogs did eat. But then he remembered. How many hired servants, he said, are in my father's house who have plenty? They have food to spare and I'm eating with the hogs. The Bible doesn't say so, but somehow I believe he smelled the biscuits cooking in the oven. Somehow I believe he saw his mother and daddy in his mind's eye. Faithful mother, faithful father, in prayer for him. And the Bible says when he came to himself, which suggests he had been insane, and every sinner is insane, morally, spiritually. And when he came to himself, God's word says he came to his father. And you know the story from there, and I don't have to take time to tell it. The father ran out to meet him, and fell about his neck and planted kisses on him. And they killed a fatted calf, and they had a great celebration. For the daddy said, "This my son that was lost is found, and this my son that was dead is alive." I'm telling you tonight that it doesn't matter how far down the road that you have gone, there is a time and there is a place of restoration. Abraham found it, and you can. And Abraham continued the journey. And his fourth step was a step on forward. In the book of Genesis again, chapter 13 and verse 18, the Bible tells us that Abraham journeyed on. This was his step of realization. He made a step of separation, a step of declination. He went down. He made a step of restoration, and now he's making a step of realization. It was not until this time that Abraham realized God's true purpose for his life. God had a purpose for him to have a family. God had a purpose to make a covenant with Abraham. God wanted him to be a warrior. God wanted him to be a builder. God wanted him to be an intercessor. What does God have for you in the realization of your life? You may be a builder, a painter, a truck driver, an office worker. It doesn't matter what you are doing tonight. If it is done as unto the Lord, it is a holy work. You who are contributing to the economical situation of our city and of our state and of our nation, did you ever realize that when you work and money is exchanged through your hands, just like this money came in here tonight, when you invest your money and your time in the cause of Christ, you are helping to send men and money to the foreign field to win people who have never heard the name of Jesus to a saving knowledge of Christ. Amen. You secretaries that sit at the typewriter every day, listen to me. As you type out the orders and the directions that are given you, there's an oil company somewhere. There are factory workers somewhere. There are school teachers somewhere. There are college professors somewhere who are depending upon what you are doing. And in turn, they are making it possible for missionaries to go around the world. Every time a quart of oil is canned, every time fuel is put in the pellets, every time a nail is driven, every time a truck is driven, every time any kind of work is done as unto the Lord, you're helping to promote and propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Realize God's purpose for your life. Whatever it is a sacred labor if it is done as unto the Lord. Abraham made a fifth and final step. And this step was a step up. He went forth. He went down. He came out. He went on. And now he goes up. In the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we read that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Abraham journeyed as a pilgrim, as a traveler on this earth, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. And Abraham was only a sojourner here in all of the travels of his life, but finally, Abraham went up. I call it his step of glorification. Just as sure as you're where you are tonight, you have an appointment with death. This book says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Abraham made his step upward. Again, Hebrews 11 says that Abraham looked for a city. And I believe that Abraham found that city. And you know how he found it? He found it by simple, childlike faith. For this book tells me that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. How did Abraham ever make that step upward? How did he ever reach the glory world? And I'm convinced tonight that he is there. For Jesus said, "They shall come in that day and sit down with Abraham and with Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom." I believe he's in heaven. Just as much as I believe this is God's word. He made the step upward, the step of glory. How did he make it? By faith. You can make that step tonight by faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, Jesus said. He that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, that is judgment, but is passed from death unto life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Jesus. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As Abraham went up, made the step of glorification, you can make the same step. And you can make it the same way that Abraham did, by faith. One day, beloved, you will make the last step of your journey from here to eternity. One day it will all be over with you. You'll punch the clock for the last time. You'll eat breakfast for the last morning. You'll be tucked in bed for the last night, and it will all be over. That final step is the most important one. And you will either go up or down. It's just that simple. Jesus said, the way that leads up is narrow, and few there be that findeth it. The way that leads downward is broad, and many there be that go in thereat. Which way are you traveling? The next step in your journey of life, where will it take you? The last step that you take, where will it take you? If you had only 24 hours to live, what would it be for your life? This last week, we received a letter from Mrs. Goolsby. Many of you know whom I'm talking about. She lived across the street in the big house. She was a very wonderful soul, about 85 years old. Her husband passed away in 1966, and she moved back to Chattanooga, Tennessee, where she had lived and stayed all the days of her life. Until after 80 years of age, she married her childhood sweetheart, Brother John Goolsby, who's with the Lord tonight. When we received the letter, she greeted us with good greetings from Chattanooga. And in the very last paragraph, and with a shaky hand, she said, Brother Barber, I miss my home and my companion there, but I'm looking for a better home at last. And bless God, she shall find it. And bless God, you can find it tonight by simple faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking to you about a fairy tale. I'm talking to you about something that is real. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Life's pilgrim journey. Which way is it leading you? Up or down? Faith can make the difference. As we stand for our prayer.